Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you be enjoying great-tasting dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals that call it home. This is dairy you can feel good about. It's great tasting, high quality organic dairy, ethically sourced from small organic family farms. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop. That's ov.coop.
Following the launch of his own charter school, nearly 14,000 people have signed an online petition to make LeBron James the Secretary of Education, even though we already have one. Who is it now? Asked Betsy DeVos.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth interviews Seth Rogen. Plus, exclusively for this podcast, Rogen continues the conversation backstage. But first, a closer look.
We are seeing a truly unprecedented level of corruption swirl around the president of the United States. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Rarely in our history have we seen a president so engulfed in scandal. It seems like almost everyone around him is on trial or under investigation, and the president himself is scrambling to avoid an interview with Robert Mueller because he's afraid he might perjure himself. So naturally, he wants us all to focus on something else. His dumbass idea for a space force.
We may even have a space force. Develop another one. Space force.
Look, so much is happening now in space.
There is no place like space.
That's where it's at. Space.
It's in space, so we're going to do the space force.
Space force.
Space force.
Space force.
What are we going to do? Space force.
Going to space. The space force, because it's a whole...
The space force. Space.
People love them.
Space Force.
Space Force. Space
Force. He sounds like a carnival barker at a third-tier state fair trying to get kids to go on his ride.
You guys like space? You like space? Space Force. It's a really fun ride. No line. No line at Space Force. You guys know space. It's that.
Now, before today, this was just an insane idea we could all ignore because it came from a confused grandpa whose brain stopped developing in 1972. But today, that all changed because his vice president and his secretary of defense had to actually go to the Pentagon, the real Pentagon, and make it a reality after Trump ordered them to officially start working on creating a space force.
The Department of Defense will release our space report to Congress, reinforcing the specifics on how we're going to carry this forward. And that report reflects a clear-eyed view of the future as the department takes the steps necessary now to implement President Trump's vision for a space force.
President Trump directed the Department of Defense to immediately begin the process necessary to establish a space force as the sixth branch of the armed forces. The time has come to establish the United States Space Force.
You know, one of the... One of the byproducts of the whole Trump presidency is nowadays you walk by a TV tuned to cable news and you constantly see headlines you just would never even imagine only a few years ago. But that was on TV today, and that takes the cake. That is an adult man talking about building a space force. I mean, seriously, are we allowed to be surprised by any headline anymore? Is it really so crazy if we saw this one day?
Did you tell them about the Space Force, Mike? How'd it go? When do they think they'll have it? Is it gonna be done this week?
But I will say, it makes sense that Trump wants to focus on space because what's happening here on Earth is really bumming him out. Some of his closest aides and allies have been arrested. His lawyers have basically admitted that if he testifies under oath, he might commit perjury, which is odd, given that Trump repeatedly insisted during his campaign that it was Hillary Clinton who surrounded herself with criminals.
Hillary Clinton is the ringleader of a criminal enterprise that has corrupted our government at the highest levels. Hillary Clinton is the ringleader of a criminal enterprise. We're witnessing a criminal enterprise that has turned our government into a vehicle for the Clintons' personal profit. But these examples are only the tip of the Clinton corruption iceberg.
Trump calling Hillary a criminal is a textbook case of projection. Mr. President, if you don't know what that is, let me explain. A textbook is a kind of book. It has, like, educational information inside. You open it like that. Of course, as we've seen over the last 18 months, if anyone's been running a criminal enterprise, it's Trump. He's been looting the federal government for as much as he can get while he can get it. He's like a game show contestant in one of those money booths.
Must grab cash. Oh, what a terrible time to have tiny hands.
Just take Trump's hotel. Trump's hotel in Washington, D.C. This week, NBC reported that they found substantial spending at the hotel by federal agencies, Trump's political allies, and foreign governments. One Trump backer told NBC, who doesn't want to come and have a chance to see the vice president, the secretary of the treasury, Kellyanne Conway, or even the president himself? I mean, I'll give you the president, and I'll even give you Kellyanne Conway, but is anybody really excited at the prospect of catching a glimpse of Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin? If I wanted to see him, I'd just go down to the aquarium where he spends his days suctioned to the glass. Also, you don't need to go to Trump's hotel to see Kellyanne Conway. You just set up a camera, say you're from CNN, and she'll materialize like the shadow demon from Game of Thrones. Trump and his inner circle have repeatedly tried to profit off his presidency. He's surrounded himself with grifters and con men like himself. Just take his Commerce Secretary, Wilbur Ross. You remember Ross, the guy who brought a Budweiser and a can of soup with him to a cable news interview to talk about tariffs. Look at him. He looks like the oldest pledge in Sigma Chi. Well, this week, Ross was accused of stealing hundreds of millions of dollars from his business associates.
A new bombshell report that claims Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross could, quote, rank among the biggest grifters in American history. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross is being accused of funneling more than $120 million from his former business partners into his own pocket. Forbes magazine interviewed 21 people who know Ross and accuse him of taking millions of dollars for himself on multiple occasions.
They wouldn't let him join the frat, so he stole it. Wilbur Ross is frat paw.
And while this is all happening, Trump's legal team is scrambling to respond to a request to interview the president from Mueller. Yesterday, Trump's lawyers rejected the special counsel's latest terms for an interview. But at the same time, Trump keeps insisting he wants to testify, which has reporters asking Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, whether he's actually sincere about that, and Rudy doesn't really seem to know.
Is he still interested in meeting with Mueller?
Well, he's always been interested in testifying. It's us, meaning the team of lawyers, including me, that have the most reservations about that.
Why should we believe that, though? Because everything that he says indicates the opposite, that he doesn't want to be with Mueller.
Really? Well, I haven't heard him say that.
Why does Rudy always seem caught off guard by every question? He always looks like he was thrown in the back of a van with a hood over his head. Where am I? Who are you? Trump's lawyers say they don't want him to testify under oath because they're worried Mueller will accuse him of perjury. Although, I guess we shouldn't be surprised that Trump's lawyers are worried about perjury since they themselves have lied multiple times about key details in the case, only to walk back those lies by claiming they were still learning the facts.
The facts I'm still learning. This is, you know, 1.2 million documents. I've been in the case for 2 weeks, virtually one day in comparison to other people.
So I'm not an expert on the facts yet. I'm getting there.
I was in the case at that point, what, a couple of weeks, and there was a lot of information that was gathering. And as my colleague Rudy Giuliani said, I had bad information at that time. I made a mistake in my statement. I agreed to go on your network and others days within being retained on this and had a lot of information to process. I got that one wrong.
Is that good when your lawyers have the same vibe as a Panera cashier on their first day at the job?
What are you getting? Snapple? Okay, hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
Manager! I mean, look at Rudy Giuliani. In every interview, he looks like... It's every interview. He looks like he just accidentally sat on his own balls. Did the president obstruct justice? Oh, come on, Rudy. Swing forward, then sit. Well, that's advice for everyone. So just to recap, the president's ex-campaign chairman is on trial for money laundering. His deputy campaign chairman confessed to crimes. His earliest congressional backer was indicted for insider trading. His ex-lawyer is being investigated for tax fraud. His commerce secretary is accused of stealing $120 million. And his own lawyers admit he can't tell the truth under oath. At this point, Trump isn't even really the president. I would say he's more like...
the ringleader of a criminal enterprise.
Get a bit closer look, everybody. Our guest tonight is a very funny a comedian, actor, and writer you know from such movies as The Disaster Artist, Knocked Up, and The Interview. His latest film, Like Father, is streaming on Netflix now. Please welcome back to the show our good friend Seth Rogen, everybody. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Always so wonderful to have you here. Last time I saw you was at the Golden Globes, backstage at the Golden Globes.
Yes, it was at the Golden Globes. And actually, moments after I saw you, I had a horrible incident that I have not spoken about. I think I actually just told my wife about it because it was so I saw you at the Golden Globes. I was supposed to go on and present like a spiel about The Disaster Artist. And I'd say someone came up to me and I was backstage and they're like, so you're going to go on in like 3 minutes. And I was like, perfect. And then I bent down to pick up something, and I blew out my pants from, like, the very front to the very back. Like, full, like, chaps. I chaps them. And, like from, like, my, yeah, like, the whole thing was gone. And I didn't know what to do. And they're just like, all right, 60 seconds. And it would take too long to explain it to anyone, so I grabbed... I just saw a stylist who was like, I think it was like Felicity the Jones, yeah. Her stylist. And I just literally grabbed just like a rack of safety pins, went into the bathroom, took my pants off, turned them inside out, pinned them with 15 safety pins all up, making like a metallic stitching thing from the base of my butt to the top of my crotch. And then... the second I fastened the last one, they were like, we're ready for you on stage. And I went out with essentially like a diaper made of safety pins holding my pants together. Yeah.
That's so fantastic.
Yeah.
I feel like...
I did it, though.
I feel like you should get a special Golden Globe for technical achievement.
It's true. I think they announced a new Oscar category for it, actually. So, yeah, that could be one of those.
So, your wife wrote and directed this film.
Yes.
Kristen Bell plays a woman who's left at the altar, has to still go on her honeymoon trip. She goes with her father, Kelsey Grammer.
Yes.
You guys actually shot it on a functional cruise ship.
We did.
How was that?
I did not like that.
Okay.
I don't know if you've been on a cruise... it's like if someone took, like, the world's biggest buffet and set it adrift. And that's kind of what it's like. And it's just, it's weird. And people, there's literally videos that tell you to wash your hands because people don't wash their hands and just shove them in like the ham spread or whatever they have. And then you get like a cruise ship, like dysentery or something like that. And so they make these little jingles. They're like, wash your hands. And you're like, it's a nice song, but the root of it is disgusting. And yeah, it felt like it was very weird. It was a weird environment. Ultimately, like from a sociological standpoint, I guess it was interesting.
In the film, you play, as we can tell from a clip, you're a little awkward. You also are yes. Canadian in the film.
I play a guy named Jeff from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, as he says in the film. And that was, he was already Canadian when my wife cast me, which was harder than you would hope. But once she agreed to allow me to be in her film, the guy was Canadian and he would just say, I'm from Edmonton. And something as a Canadian I know is when you're explaining to Americans where you're from, you say the city, the province, and the country, because we don't assume any American has heard of any one of those things necessarily. And I'm from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and I've had to say that, like, Vancouver, nothing. British Columbia, that's, like, confusing. Like, what? Like, there's a British Columbia now? When did that happen? And by the time you get to Canada, most people have heard of that. But even that, I've had some crossed wires in the past. So, yeah, so that's what Canadians do. City, province, country. Hopefully one of those things is identifiable. Yes.
There's a scene in the film where Kelsey and Kristen they play like a game show on the cruise, which I guess is a thing that happens on cruises.
It is, yes. If you're not enticed enough, yeah, there's game shows.
Then you get pretty. But you and your sister were actually on a game show when you were kids.
We were. We were on a show called Kid Street, which is a Canadian show that was kind of like the Newlywed Game with siblings. Not in the gross way. And so it was you and your sibling were separated and you were asked questions and you had to match up your answers hypothetically. You know, what's your favorite food? Pizza, pizza. And so my dad, though, we got on the show and my dad watched hundreds of episodes of the show and realized that you could break down every answer into one of like 10 categories. Like there was food related questions, there was location related questions, there was number related questions. And he set answers with me and my sister. So if it was anything to do with food, pizza. Anything to do with a location, Hawaii. What's
so
your
for that mean like least favorite food, pizza?
Favorite food, pizza. What do you eat most for dinner? Pizza. Doesn't matter if it's food, pizza. So we do this. My dad sets out a series of like 10 answers. We memorize them. And not only does it work, we don't get one question wrong. And we won the game show through cheating. Just through just sheer cheating. Yeah. And I think in America today, it's the best lesson a child can learn is if you cheat, you will win.
Yeah. So I would say that the lesson that was imparted upon you by your father is one that Trump probably has taught all his
children.
It's all
his kids. Yeah. Just cheat, guys.
Just cheat. Yeah, it works out great.
It's why I'm so Trumpian.
I read you've obviously met so many people. You've done so many films over the years. I recently read a story about how you met Tom Cruise once.
Yes. Several times.
Oh, right, of course. But you introduced him to something that he had never been introduced to before.
Yeah, he didn't know internet pornography existed.
Okay. Like, and now, did you go to his home?
Yeah, not to tell him that.
Right.
But I went, that would be very prescriptive visit. It was at the time when everyone thought he was a crazy person. He was jumping on couches. He was just doing his Tom Cruise thing at Full Tilt. And I think he wanted some character rehabilitation. So he was meeting with comedians who could maybe help, like, make him not seem so crazy, maybe. And so he called up Judd for a meeting, and we were making Knocked Up at the time. It was a little over 10 years ago, and Judd was like, come meet Tom Cruise. And I was like, great. So the first time we met him, I had to pee so badly. As I was pulling into his house, I had to, like, just pee. And I rang his buzzer and he buzzed me in and there was a very long driveway and I was so uncomfortable to meet Tom Cruise for the first time and I didn't want the first thing I said to him to be, hi, I'm Seth Rogen, nice to meet you, I have to pee, can I pee in your house? It's like a emergency. And so he had this long winding driveway and so what I did was I stopped halfway up it and I got a Snapple bottle and I peed in the Snapple bottle in Tom Cruise's driveway. Looking back, honestly, there's no way he does not have cameras covering that driveway. And when you pee in a bottle, like, you have to get gravity on your side. And it is like, it's not like, it, like for me anyway, like, it's quite like an operation. Like, it's, and I'm like, I'm pretty much up there. And so there's a 100% chance that Tom Cruise has video of me peeing in my car in his driveway, which he has not released. But yeah, and then I told Tom Cruise that internet pornography was a thing that existed, which he did not know.
How did it come up? Like, how does...
I honestly can't remember. I think it just came up organically. Like, you know, like how people, how it does, you know. And then like, oh, my friends were looking at internet porn. And he was like, whoa, 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 what? Like those two words.
And you, I mean, obviously he's a fantastic actor, but this is something he said and you believed it to be true?
Oh, yes, very much so. Wow. Yes, he was a... Yes, I 100% believed he had no idea that there was pornography on the World Wide Web.
Yeah.
Which is the first thing I knew about the World Wide Web is that there was pornography on it. That's the only reason I know it exists.
Also, it's such a natural... If you know about the internet and know about pornography, it would be like knowing what peanut butter and jelly are, but not knowing they have ever been on a sandwich.
Yeah, and with all that Tom Cruise intensity, it's like, you mean to tell me someone's putting peanut butter and jelly in a sandwich? And I'm just like, yeah, dude, it's like the most famous sandwich there is. It's everywhere. Whoa, that's crazy. Crazy. Yeah. Like,
another person who's known for his eccentricities, and we've talked about your interactions with him before, but Kanye.
Yes.
You worked out. You have worked out with Kanye West.
I have worked out with Kanye West several times, which is not something a lot of people can say, I would imagine. But
now, that to me is the opposite of peanut butter and jelly. That does not seem like a natural thing.
I used to go to a personal trainer very briefly. I was in a film called The Green Hornet, which for many reasons was not a wonderful chapter of my life. But one of which is I had to work out a lot, just depressingly, to achieve that look, which was not the most superhero-y look you could ever imagine. At my most fit, I was like Chris Pratt at his by far least fit. Like, I never had any Chris Pratt crossover ever in my life. But I would go to this personal trainer, and Kanye West had the same personal trainer. And several times he would show up early, and he's a big fan of our movies, and he would literally follow me around as I worked out and quote my own movie scenes to me, which is so weird. Yeah. And it's just like, and it's me just like, he's just like, so like, McLovin, that's a funny joke. I'm like, yeah, man, I don't know what to tell you. Like, and this is how I work out. Oh, like this, I don't. Like,
that's how you get that Green Hornet body.
This is the Green Hornet workout. Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here. It's always such a pleasure to see you. Give it up for Seth Rogen, everybody. Like Father is currently streaming on Netflix.
Hey, this is Kevin. We are backstage with Seth Rogen and Lauren Miller Rogen, director of Like Father. Welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
What was the casting process like for getting Seth involved in the movie?
He wouldn't stop begging me to be in it. You know, he does not get a lot of offers. I didn't originally like write the role for him. It was a character from the Midwest. Mm-hmm. And we were in Canada like 2 months or so before we started shooting. And I was like, what if the character was Canadian and we made Canadian jokes instead of Midwestern jokes? And Seth's first response to that was, I'm not going on the cruise ship. And then over the next few days, I feel like we just came up with a bunch of funny Canadian jokes, and he hadn't played Canadian like that type of, you know, with the opportunity to sort of make jokes because I had written and stuff like that. And so then it just sort of happened.
It did. When you're on a cruise, there's a lot of, you tell people where you're from a lot. So it was, there's a lot of opportunity for Canada.
It's a lot
jokes.
Of that. Yeah. A lot of introducing yourself
exactly,
sort of
yeah.
over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. But your parents are big cruise enthusiasts, is this right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
My parents love a cruise. Odds are they are on one.
They're going on one in a week or two.
There you go. And any given moment, I like my parents at sea.
Lord, did you rely a lot on Seth's parents for stories and research for...
I had not been on a cruise before.
Really?
Making the scout for the movie was my first time stepping on a cruise ship. I wrote it from the internet and my mother-in-law. And they've made friends on cruise ships and then gone on other cruises with them.
Uh-huh.
And like the table friends, that was all like inspiration from them,
yeah.
them and their stories. And, Yeah, no, I it was all from them and the internet.
And how many did you guys go on while shooting? Were there ones you would go on and then dock and then go back out again?
We were fully on a ship. I spent a total of 24 days on a cruise ship last year.
Okay.
Which is crazy. Yeah. But yeah, we were like on a working cruise, so we like once it went out to sea, we were there until it did its voyage. It wasn't our ship or anything. There were people taking vacation and fully around. It was an operational cruise.
Seth, you were just on with Seth Meyers. You guys talked a little bit about some of your past work. It was also the 10th anniversary of Pineapple Express this month, and you tweeted out some little known facts, I guess, about the movie.
I did.
There were a lot of injuries on set.
There were many injuries on set, yes. Our stunt guy had fastened a pad to a tree that Franco was supposed to bang his head on, but the screw that was fastening the pad to the tree was very exposed, and okay. Franco hit his head on the screw that was fastening the pad to the tree, and it is the take that is in the movie, and he, required stitches, and as a result is wearing a headband throughout the bulk of the movie to cover up the fact that he has stitches on his forehead.
And you guys were originally supposed to play each other's roles, or you switched roles last minute?
Yeah, we kind of always pictured Franco being like the kind of more traditional leading man and me being like his stoner buddy.
Yeah.
And then there's still debate as to where the idea originated from, either Judd or Franco, but the idea came up that we should switch roles, and I was more than happy to do that. I didn't have that strong feelings about it, so we did, and it was a very smart choice.
Is that the movie that you get people quoting or asking about most?
I think of all the movies I've made, it's the most people have it as their favorite movie.
Uh-huh.
Like, I have the most, it's the movie for sure people come up to me the most and tell me it's like their favorite movie.
Yeah. Seth, you have a big movie coming out, Lion King live action next year. I was reading that Pharrell had to help you with some of the, was it the songs that he helped you with or sort of gave you some voice coaching?
Yeah, I can't sing very well. I got there. I think I got there. But, yeah, I'm not, you know, the most gifted singer in the cast.
Uh-huh.
Beyonce probably being the most gifted singer in the cast. Or Donald Glover.
Yeah.
Or one of I would say I'm by far the least gifted singer in the cast. And, I required some coaching, I guess. Pharrell was maybe like, it's like overdoing it a bit.
How so? Was it?
It was just, it's intimate. When you're not good at something, you don't want like the best person to be teaching. You want like a normal, you know, you want like, oh, this is like Jimmy's from the Valley.
He
like runs a small vocal school. He'll help you out. Like
gotcha.
That would have been much more my speed and a little less intimidating, I think. But ultimately, Pharrell knows what he's doing. And so I think it was for the best.
Well, congrats again on the movie. Check it out. It's on Netflix now.
You might as well. You've already paid for it.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle @LateNightSeth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Once upon a beat! Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me, DJ Fuse, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the new Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.